Anche quello. No, no, no. Anche
quello.
Ok. Non mi c'è la nata,
non è la stessa. Io non sono la
stessa.
You.
Why
no, you're harassing this lady next to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I see. I apologize. Honorable members, we are starting. We have the court of auditor general in front of us today. We were supposed to have a meeting again Thursday and Friday. That meeting is postponed. I hope every member of God have received a letter from the minister. Did Honorable Pascal receive? Have you got a letter in front of you?
No, I'm just receiving it, ma'am. Just like Minister of Defense received the letter.
You can close the door then. Now, I have to again reaffirm our position, and this is the response of the minister. Proposed DOD appearance at the Portfolio Committee of Defense and Military Veterans, 20 and 21st October 2010. In response to your dated 12 October 2010 requesting the department to present its annual report for the financial on Wednesday and Thursday, 2021, I hereby wish to inform you that we are not in a position to honor the request. The Ministry and the Defense Secretariat personnel will be traveling to Botswana to attend a bilateral joint permanent commission over the period of 18 to 21st and will therefore not be able to attend the meeting. We request the committee to set a new date for this appearance. That's why the meeting is cancelled for Thursday and Friday.
Wednesday
and Thursday, yes. So the meeting, that's the request of the minister in writing as she promised. And I'm putting it in front of the committee so that the committee can take note of it or adopt it and accept the apology of the minister. I've opened it up. Tata?
Thanks, Comrade Chairperson. Well, I think the apology is clear, and I propose that we accept it, because these people are not around. They are in a foreign country to perform national duty. So I suggest that we accept the apology.
It has been accepted and seconded. You wanted to say something, David? No, you don't have anything to say now. Thank you. Let's move forward. We have the auditor general. Yes, no. You see, we move on. This is a meeting, and the position has been accepted. We did, again, write back to the minister to make the proposal of the 26th, which is coming week. I'm awaiting their response to see what they are going to do. The annual reports are crucial, and I thought that it's important that I quickly respond, because we do need them to come back and be in front of the committee. I know that we have an outstanding report of the 08-09 that has not yet been finished, so we need to be able to prepare for that. So that's what we are really saying, that you had the Secretary of Defense saying to you that he is quite ready. So the point is that he must come over and do the presentation. So I'm waiting for them. But it's clear that he has to go with the minister at this particular moment. Okay, David?
Chair, obviously on the question of the minister's letter on the 18th, I mean, if the department, if there is indeed a clash, and that clash is to attend an important meeting with the Joint Permanent Commission on Defence and Security, then of course we should accept, then we should reschedule. What I'm more interested in is the concept. I presume that we are not going to deal with two annual reports in one session. I just wanted to get some clarity on the concept that you intend to implement. I would have presumed that that the committee would have set aside a morning for, per program in the department of, in order to, I mean, what I would have thought is that we would devote one morning per per program in the Department of Defense's annual report. Is that the concept you intend to follow?
If we do that, if you look at the thickness of the document, you'll be here for the most of your time. That's the only thing we solely do, you see. That's why I asked members to look into the report. I mean, I know one of the parties, I've seen them engaging researchers to start researching and pulling out what is resourceful. The AG is going to add value to that, pointing us to directions of areas of concern. That is also going to add value to that, you see. And it's only then that we size up how far can we grow and go with the report itself. But if you do have a modeling or a way you want to propose, I'm open for proposals, you see.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I will then write a proposal. I have a strong view, and I've expressed this view before, that Chief of SANDF and a Service Chief should be present for the Landward Program, Air Defense Program, Maritime Program, Defense Intelligence Program, and Joint and Force Employment Program. That's the first thing. The Defense Act is very clear. The Secretary of Defense and the Chief of SANDF are equal before the Minister. They have separate functions, and both the Secretary of Defense and the Chief of the SANDF should be accountable to this committee. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I believe that we should devote at least a morning, at least one session of this committee to each program in the annual report. But I will write you a formal proposal.
Okay, until you submit that proposal, I'll be patiently waiting. But you must also do it as a background, not understanding that the Secretary of Defense said the last time she would want to take full responsibility for all the divisions. So put your proposal, I'll bring it back to the committee. I'll tell you the Secretary of Defense and the Ministry to see if it will be workable. But overall, it also talks to the program of Parliament. And for how long are we going to be here, and what implication does that have for overall program, stopping everything and just deal with the annual report? Because you also know that we have to deal with the BRRR developments and be able to keep up with that. So it does have a lot of, we've got the NCACC that we still also have to look into. So there are programs that is going to have implications. So, but as I'm saying, put the proposal first so that I can test it with all committee members. Can we proceed now? Okay. That's right. We have got the AG here, who's going to be the first person to take us through his own reflection and his own understandings of the report. But I must also say, before we start, Tata Mlange, this is just one important day in our lives with one of our own stakeholders, the media people. You know that it's one in the, was it in the 70s when they got banned and so I thought that it's one day that we should not just ignore. We don't have differences with them. We respect the institution, respect who they represent, and we are just saying that on this particular day, let us all give them the strength and wisdom or support that they need to be able to do their work. What we say about other engagements as parliamentarians, it's a different matter, but on this particular day, we do give them the support, and we say to them they must continue with their good work that they are doing. It's an important day. We hope we'll never repeat what happened to them in the past. That's all I have to say, unless Dr. Mlangeni wants to say something.
No.
You're fine. Okay. And if you want to say something, you're fine. That's good. People of the media, we appreciate, as we say on this particular day, this is just one of the things that you had to go through some of the difficulties that social systems create, but continue with your good work. Thank you. Okay. Now we have the AG. My friend, okay. The AG is here today. He is going to take us through his report. Hello, Mamum Kabate. How are you?
I'm good.
You're very fine.
I'm good.
That's very good. You know I like you.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't see you, I get very worried.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The AG has done. The AG has released some of his report, and he is going to take us through. He does have a vibrant presentation in the corner there. That's why I was worried about you, Dr. Pahel and Mamum Kabate. That how are you going to see it? This is the AG. Oh, we need to welcome Tatu Udiali. Tatu Udiali, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
How are you keeping?
Well, you know, the old age is a problem, but...
old age, Robben Island, such a lot of things that you've done.
Accompanied, of course, by those consequences of communities.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
No, Phil will come back to the committee. We've been missing you. I mean, everybody understands what you're going through and you've got our support. Yeah. Be just strong.
Yes, I want to say I'm still under
the doctor.
Treatment.
Mm. Mm. No, I understand that very well.
I was supposed to invite you to get extension. Now I'm back to my doctor, but that means that's going to be for her.
I know you're
doing
yourself. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You're going to talk, man. Are you going to talk now? I've got the AG who's going to present. Okay. No, I have got the AG. AG, you're welcome to our committee.
Thanks. Okay.
Just give us the facts.
Thanks. Honourable Chair members, I first have to apologise for Mr. Barry Weather. He's attending the SCOPA meeting currently for national departments, as well as Mr. Musa Khlongwa, who's attending the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services. So ITNs Ilafu represent the Department of Defence from the IG side today. We prepared a slideshow for you. Firstly, it's just our reputation and promise statement that the Auditor General has. The Auditor General has a constitutional mandate as the Supreme Audit Institution, the SAI, for South Africa. It exists to strengthen our government or our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability in governance and public sector through auditing. So we are limited to the auditing side of public accountability and thereby ensuring that public confidence is built. What I did on the next slide, sir, I first compiled the type of audit reports that you have so that the committee could have an understanding on what is our audit opinion about the Department of Defence. I summarised it firstly in an unmodified audit opinion. That is, in clear terms, or I could say a clean audit report, where the Auditor General would say, I agree with the financial statements. Please take note the Auditor General is auditing the financial statements. So we say in the financial statements aspect everything is fairly presented. Then the next block on that slide is a unmodified with emphasis of matter. Normally there is a confusion with regard to emphasis of matter paragraphs. We put certain items as required by our standards or maybe by laws and regulations in the audit report. That's not affecting our qualification. That's under the heading of emphasis of matter. If you recall the DOD audit report, we have emphasis of matter, basis of accounting. Just that is just highlighting in terms of what the financial statements are subject to, as well as the irregularity disclosure note under emphasis of matter. It is properly disclosed in the financial statements, so we're not qualified. But we just highlighted certain items within the financial statements. Then we have a modified audit report. That's a qualification. Currently, the Department of Defense have a qualified audit report. Now, I'm going to read the definition of that. A qualified opinion is expressed when the auditor concludes that an unqualified opinion cannot be expressed, but the effect of any disagreement with management regarding the departures from financial reporting or limitations of scope is not so material or pervasive as to require adverse or disclaimer. The implication is the following. We will say everything in the financial statement is correct, except for this. If you read our qualification in the financial statements of the department, we say everything is correct except the qualification on tangible and intangible capital assets. That's the qualification. There could be material non-compliance or material deviation, non-material deviation on other aspects, but it's not so material that it rendered the rest of the financial statements as incorrect. Then if you turn the slide to disclaimer, that's where we say we audited your financial statements in terms of the accounting framework, the evidence that's available, and we're not in a position to give an opinion because there's various lines in the financial statements that's incorrect. So the financial statements in total is incorrect. Adverse is where we say we're in disagreement with your financial statements. That's just to highlight the type of audit report that we have. Department of Defense, if you turn the slide, we have a qualification. Our qualification is on tangible and intangible assets. I must first give some background on this item. The department talk of assets. That includes, in their terms, inventory as well as capital assets. National Treasury reporting framework only requires them now to disclose capital assets. So our qualification is only on tangible and intangible capital assets, not inventory. What we indicated in the audit report is the department did not disclose any financial information for both the current and prior year, that you could note within the financial statements, and the department did not maintain a proper asset register supported by relevant documentation. Due to that, it created the following. I couldn't certify the existence of an asset, the rights and obligation, completeness, and valuation with regard to these assets. I will explain existence. I couldn't verify all the assets. I couldn't verify that that asset exists. It's really there in terms of the asset register. Rights and obligations, it means I couldn't verify it's the asset of the department. Completeness, I couldn't verify that everything is there. And then the most important one for an auditor and financial statements is the valuation assertion. I couldn't verify that the value as they have it on the asset register is correct. So it's more or less all the assertions that we have in auditing capital assets. Now what we did is we also then reported on control deficiencies and root causes. As an auditor, we evaluate the internal controls. We try to identify and assist the department in giving the root causes for these items through. We have summarized it under leadership, financial and performance management, system deficiencies for this specific item. In the other document that we have submitted, this document, to the members of the committee, there's a lot more detail. On leadership, management did not have approved policies and procedures to guide management at the lowest level to ensure compliance with National Treasury disclosure requirements. I must be upfront indicating to you they have policies and procedures, but these policies and procedures don't cater for compliance with National Treasury prescripts for disclosure requirements. They have to update their policies and procedures. Otherwise, they will not be able to ensure proper compliance. Then financial and performance management, I link manual and automated systems are not adequate to facilitate the preparation and accurate recording and disclosure of various categories of assets in the financial statements as required by National Treasury. If you turn the page, you will see system deficiencies. Here we try to summarize for the department what we see as system deficiencies. The first one, and this is for the period under review. Must remember, we have a new accounting officer from the 1st of April. So that was for the period ending 31st of March. Insufficient direct involvement of the accounting officer and the chief financial officer in previous years. That is for direction from a higher level. Management does not have approved policies and procedures. That's now policies and procedures that will cater for this new national treasury requirement. Project plans were not adequately monitored. Now, this is the correction steps in the past that were not adequately monitored. The fourth bullet is management did not ensure compliance with existing policies. They have currently a policy on how to do a stock count, how to do an asset count. But when we did the audit, we identified that we have material misstatements on what assets is actually reflected on the asset register and what's on the ground. And that's already a policy in place. Personnel were not aware of the new requirements at the lowest level. This is also very important. If you want staff to manage your systems, they must understand what is the requirement of the new disclosure. So the education of staff at the lowest level is also very important. Policies instruction regarding asset counts are outdated. The department has, in certain instances, a policy that will allow them to count stock over a three-year period. And it's not advisable in terms of this new reporting standard. They must as far as possible ensure controls is in place and count over a year, or the best option will be at the end of the financial year. Then again, this accounting officer and CFO in the past didn't have sufficient oversight over the responsibilities. That could have been the result where the chief of ROC was not under the direct control of the accounting officer in the past. So that could be a structural problem. Then another issue with regard to the systems. The assets and inventory are recorded on a system that's primarily an inventory system. We want to report capital assets, but the system that the department has is actually an inventory system, not an asset system. And the difference is inventory are reflected at the latest purchase price, while assets are recorded at the price that it was purchased at. So when you update the system with the newest inventory price, it updates all the previous historical information. Then, that's the next bullet, the latest purchase price. Then a further constraint to the department, the logistical system do not properly interface with the financial system. There's various logistical systems in the department and manual systems. And the process of rolling up these financial information to be presented in one set of financial systems, financial statements, is also a concern for them. And then no reconciliation. What must actually happen is they must purchase these new items through the financial statements, statement of performance, the income statement, the expenditure, capital expenditure. And it must be reconciled, the expenditure for this year must be reconciled to the assets or the capital assets that is added in the financial statements for that specific year. And that control is also not in place. Now, if we turn the slide, the department has put in actions. If I could refer you to the accounting officer's report, you will see the actions that the accounting officer has put in place. There is project plans. There is the operational clean audit that is involved. There is also the C1C Corporation that's assisting the department with regard to the existence to actually do a stock count and an asset count. So the department have put actions in place. My concern is that I'm of the opinion that it will not be resolved in 1 year. The volume is too massive. But the committee must actually also look at the plans and the actions that the department has put in place. Then emphasis of matter. The first one is irregular expenditure. As I've indicated previously, we didn't qualify. We only highlight certain items that's already disclosed in the financial statements. So the department correctly disclosed it as irregular expenditure. Our department is for uniformed members, soldiers, are not falling under the DPSA rules and regulations, Public Service Administration. In terms of the Defence Act, they could approve their own allowances, their own salary for uniformed members. But that must be done strictly in terms of Section 55. What we have picked up that certain expenditure as reflected in Note 27 for salary expenditure, they didn't comply with that process. That's a managing committee that the ministers trying to set up to get approval. That's one of the items. System deficiencies. I think there is a lack in the systems to make sure that they comply with laws and regulations. One could just look at this specific expenditure on salary and see that somebody must have checked if they comply with Section 55. It's a very high level control. Actions by the department in the management response that we have received, they've indicated that they will put the necessary corrective actions in place. They will also endeavour to appoint a compliance officer for the department as a whole. This officer will make sure on a high level that the department comply with laws and regulations. And I hope this will address items like Section 55 of the Defence Act. In the next item in the audit report that we reported on is predetermined objectives. We did an investigation or audit on the predetermined objectives, and we selected various programs. Our problem is that for some of these programs, we couldn't certify the validity, the accuracy and completeness for some of these reported targets. So we couldn't verify, the supporting evidence was not available. And we've put the control deficiencies summarized here in, firstly, I'm going back to leadership, making sure that the key controls is in place to manage performance information. Then we go to financial and performance management. The first item is record keeping. You must remember now, performance is not within your, only within your financial department. It could be within the arms of services. So the Air Force must keep records of flight hours. The Army must keep records of deployments. And it's new to our soldiers. So if they compile this policy and procedure, they must ensure that record-keeping policies and procedures and training is also in place so that these records are available. Then performance information in the annual report will not adequately review for completeness and accuracy. If you submit financial statements and the performance information is now part of it, there must be a control process in place, making sure within the arms of services and at Secretary of Defense level that if I report there's so many flight hours, it's actually occurred. And you could only do it if there's supporting documentation. So somebody must review this information at the lower level, not at level 1. Level 2 and 3 within the department, making sure that that information that's rolling up to the Secretary of Defense are in place. That's what the last bullet actually proposes. System deficiencies. Again, policies and procedure, no record keeping, high-level monitoring, that's very important. Actions taken. I know that the department have implemented standard operating procedures to ensure the accuracy, completeness, and validity of evidence, and they've also isolated the responsibilities. So they've said this person is responsible for ensuring that this is in place. Then if I could move to key control issues. This is a summary of including the audit qualification, the irregular, and the performance information. The first bullet also refer back to policies and procedures with regard to asset management in the department. The second bullet say there must be key control in place for effective managing performance against predetermined objectives. And then the last bullet is making sure that they comply with laws and regulations. That's under leadership. Financial performance management. We have a problem with regard to our systems, that they are not adequate to facilitate the preparation of accurate recording and disclosure of various categories of assets. You could imagine yourself with that amount of assets within the Department of Defense, if the financial system is not able to to keep record of the capital purchase price of assets, how impossible it will be for the department to have that information. So the systems must support it. Then again, record keeping pertaining to performance information was not always available, so they must ensure that. And they must ensure that completeness and accuracy is there in terms of monitoring controls. If we go to governance, the first item that we identify that we report on under governance, non-compliance, is that there were no fraud prevention plan approved within the department. In the Secretary of Defense or the Accounting Officer's report, they've indicated that it's approved on the 1st of April. So in the new financial year, it would be. In the previous year, we identify a strategy to have a fraud plan. So there was something in place, but not the fraud plan as required by National Treasury. Then the internal audit function was not fully operational for the year under review. Now the department will come back and say there is an IG. I acknowledge there is an Inspector General. And they do certain of the functions of an internal auditor. They look at combat readiness. They look at if the soldiers are ready to defend the country for deployment. They look at those type of items. But they don't look totally at the financial side of it, making sure that the financial statements is correct. In 2008, as we reported previously also, the previous minister approved a new structure in the Defence Force for a new head of internal audit as well as an internal audit division under this head. Now the internal auditor, the head of internal auditor is still not appointed. And the staff that must emigrate from the Inspector General to the new internal audit, all new staff that must be appointed, still not done. And I must emphasize this, internal audit is actually being proactive from the department. If they have a fully operational internal audit division, they could actually identify all these items before the external auditor arrives. They could identify the key control weaknesses. So it's a very important tool that will assist the department if internal audit is up and running. And I must also mention the Inspector General's reporting to the Chief of the SANDF, not to the Accounting Officer as required for the internal audit. So that's more or less the qualifications. Concerns that we could have for the new year, that you must, as a committee, take note of. The next slide. They have had operational clean audit. Their contract expires by the end of this financial, or this period, 31st of December. My concern is with regard to skills. I've raised it with the department. They must make sure the proper skills transfers are in place, the necessary standard operating procedures is in place, because there is various items. So if you recall, a few years ago, we qualified on accruals and leases. It's due to the fact that the financial systems of the department don't support these disclosure notes. So it's all manual processes. So with the assistance of operational clean audit and intervention by the CFO, they were able to clear this qualifications. But it's always a high risk. And the department must make sure policies and procedures are in place. The staff are trained on the specific items. Then from our side, sir, committee, to address and support the auditee. What we do is we actively monitor key controls. We're busy with our new audit planning. As part of our system documentation, we identify key control weaknesses, and already from next month we will again communicate it with the accounting officers. We are also committed to make sure that our audit findings that we report to the department are clear, simple, and relevant. Our recommendations must make sense to the department. We monitor against action plans, and we would endeavor to audit the interim financial statements. The department, I think, will be for the first time tried to submit interim financial statements. It will not have an audit opinion, but we will be in a position to audit it and report in a management report to the accounting officer so that they could test these systems that they have in place. Communication processes. We communicate monthly as well as quarterly, monthly to the CFO and quarterly to the SecDef. And we also to try to improve our current target dates to assist the department. I think, sir, that's on a high level, the audit report. I don't know if there's any questions from the committee.
That's the presentation of the auditor about the department that was supposed to, monitor. And if you read it, there is an auditor's report besides the presentation. So those two reports goes along, and that's how you must be able to read it. It will give you more information about how the department has performed this capital, you know, this year. Is there any questions? Clarities? Tatu Mlangeni?
The abbreviation TCWG, what does it stand for?
That's Charge of Governance. My apologies. Sir.
What is that?
That's Charge of Governance. That's the Audit Committee, the Minister.
What does T stand for?
Those.
Those?
Those, yeah. Charge
yes.
of Governance.
For those charged
with governance.
With governance, I see. Thank you very much.
Question?
Chairperson, money is clarity. The offer, you know, page 7, operation clean audit consortium. What is that? And it's clarity. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Chairperson, I also just want to find out on clarity, because when they do audit, actually they don't do audit on everything. They just pick up a sample. When you pick up a sample, do you, as you are saying, you have meetings every month, but this qualified records, qualified reports, they keep on going. What else do you do to ensure that this qualified report doesn't come again? Because you have picked up a sample on this year, and in most cases you normally say everything is all right, but in actual fact you didn't do everything. You know, what do you do to go back and ensure that things are still in place?
Thank you, Chair. I've got a couple of questions. I mean, the reason for the qualified audit, of course, focuses on tangible and intangible assets. But, Chair, I think the key question here is, the Minister has indicated that she is serious about a clean audit. We've had a new Secretary of Defense appointed, a new Chief Financial Officer appointed. We have a compliance officer who is about to be appointed. We have Operation Clean Audit, and we have C1C working on the inventory. So it seems to me that the department have taken this matter seriously and that we are, in fact, heading in the right direction. I would just like some comfort from the Auditor General, and I'd like to know whether the Auditor General is satisfied that there is a credible plan in place to deal with the problems relating to tangible and intangible assets. That's the first question. Chair, in respect of irregular expenditure, what I would like is much more detail about irregular expenditure that is under investigation. Now, I'm sure that the Auditor General won't be able to provide us with details, but could I, through you, ask if it would be possible for the Auditor General to provide us with a detailed explanation in respect of irregular expenditure under investigation, which is on page 237 of our annual report? I mean, if indeed, for example, there is an investigation into irregular expenditure, for example, in respect of the Airbus A400M, then I'd like to know who's being investigated, why are they being investigated, and how much money is being involved in each case. I ask that, Chair, just simply so that our committee will be more prepared when we finally meet the department. So that's irregular expenditure.
Okay. Let me just... In the annual report, on page 237, if you do have your annual report, the 27.6. So what you are raising is in relation to that. Yeah, I did indicate 237. I hope you've got the annual report. Do you have copies, man? I just wanted you to, so that it can be correctly quoted, that it is in the report itself that under investigation, so that it's not... I had suspicion that it might have been coming from you again. You know. So your information is correct. 27.6. It takes details of irregular expenditure under investigation. Incidents, procurement processes not followed. I just want to give more facts to that, so that every member who doesn't have the document can understand what you're doing, which is not in the report of the agent. These are the incidents. Procurement process not followed. Housing allowances is irregular transfer of money from Rennies about 2000 rand. Meal allowance, I see that L400 Airbus process, procurement process not followed again. Subdivisions of requirements exceeding delegation limit. Then it's called AMG account. Military personnel salary increment, performance incentives, and other matters. So that's what is being quoted within that particular page.
Now, what does Mr. Manier want to know about? Is he saying the AG should talk on this? When there is a report in the annual document that these matters are being investigated.
Yes.
What does he want the AG to do?
No, just be patient with him. He's going to come back to his question. It's just that we're making aware where does this page and when does the word come under investigation. I'll give him a chance to finish what he wanted to present. Okay. I'm still sharing data.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, I'm well aware that the AG will not be in a position to give us detail today. I accept that. But I would ask that through you, the AG provide us with details in respect of those items. Also, if you look on the same page, 237, under fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I'd also like, through you, Chair, to ask the AG if he could, in a separate note, provide us with more details about flight cancellation fee for external mission under wasteful expenditure. I'm finished. Then the final point, Chair, which is really my primary concern, and that is the performance management system. Again, I would ask through you, Chair, and again, I'm aware that the AG would not be able to provide us with this detail today, but the AG has taken a sample of programs. He has audited those programs and found, I think, that in 26% of cases, targets could not be verified. Again, I would wonder if the AG would be able to provide us with more detail about exactly what targets could not be verified per program. But again, that would have to be in a separate note on a different day. But my question with the performance management system, Chair, is does the Auditor General share my view that there is a bigger problem with the Auditor General, with the performance management system? And my question is, does it comply with the relevant regulations. Because, for example, if you look at, if you give me a moment, Operation Corona, which is the border safeguarding operation, that's on page 15 of the supplementary note provided to us. The operation is, for example, Operation Corona, which is border safeguarding. The annual target is 100% compliance with approved safety and with approved. Sorry, I apologize. It's 100% percentage compliance with approved border safeguarding tasks, and the annual target is achieved 100%. What does that mean? And does that comply with what I believe would be regulations probably set down by the Treasury? It seems to me that the performance management system itself needs to be reviewed by the department. Thank you, Chair. I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question will be on this document, on page 7. To say, according to this table, if you could explain to some of us, does this mean that the department is improving from 07-08 up till now in its financial reports, according to this, because there's Q, there's NA, there's E. Is it improving? And on page 14 of this other document, on page 14, where you are speaking about possible risk areas, what risk is it when you say employee benefits, for example, leave reserve for this? What risk is there? All right, thank you.
Good morning to all of you. Actually, thanks a lot. Mine might sound out of order, but I know it is in order. But I never hear what I'm going to ask when we're doing budget votes. You see, on page 6, you have identified so well the system deficiencies, but in the department, which one? You will hear of the AU, you will hear of the UN. It's not just a department within the country that you can monitor or deal with it as a country. And these deficiencies, and as well as when budget votes are created, you seldom hear what comes from AU, what comes from UN, for us to say, yes, the budget is fine for our South African National Defence Force. Is there a forum where these system deficiencies are checked? A forum where this one is represented, the other one is represented? If not, how do you manage to come into terms with these bullets? Because they're very good, really they're very good. But where I'm thrown off is when I don't know the role of AU, the role of UN, which forum sits to ensure that those people are really dealing with and are complying with these things. Otherwise, it confuses me every year when I'm listening from the budget board, I think.
No, it is an important question, the last question. It also relates to peacekeeping missions, deployment, that how do you in trying to engage Mr. Wheeler, he made an indication that you haven't done much as the auditor in relation to that. But what you have learned is it goes back to the unit more than joint operations as the main accounting component there. So it does, that's why it does create a little bit of a confusion and a little bit of concern. But how do we monitor that? How do we keep our finger, I mean, into that particular table of friends? So for me, the sample program, how you sample the whole approach, how far does it go to give clarity about the extent of the department itself? Because if you look at the annual report, you can see there's also condemnations that have been done. But in your slight report, it doesn't go to that level of highlighting that. Just give us, how does the sampling work?
Maybe I must start with operation clean audit and then sampling.
Yeah.
And if it is, that's the final question also. Operational clean audit was appointed by the, it was started with the previous CFO, acting CFO. It's appointment, a joint appointment between SABNT and KPMG, it's operational clean audit. The accounting officer has also written a paragraph on the specific appointment in the accounting officer's report. And their main purpose was to assist the department in looking at the qualifications. We will recall that the previous, 2 years ago it was 16 and 15 qualifications. They have to look at all those qualifications, go and look at the policies and procedures of the department, the operating processes, making sure it's streamlined to address the qualifications. That was the main purpose, and it's KPMG and operational, SABNT. There is other consortiums also like C1C that's appointed to address the asset-specific inventory concerns on the department. I hope that will address that specific question. Sampling. Now, for an auditor to go and do everything, we must then actually be management. So we use a technique that's known as sampling. We evaluate the total population. We will identify stratums. Let's say, for instance, let's take normal expenditure. That will be the best to explain it to you. You will have a total expenditure, and it will be divided in some expenditure is for consultant fees. That's a different type of process. You have another type of expenditure, salary cost. Now, we divide the expenditure in terms of classes of transactions. And then within that population, we draw a random sample. Now, the question was twofold to that side, is how do we ensure that it's actually corrected? Now, the only way I could do it is I could go and draw a random sample. I go and audit the specific sample that I have. I report to the department. And then I identify misstatements, what is wrong, and I report back to the department. Normally we give them a chance, if it's material or misstated, to correct their total sample. And then again, we draw a random sample and go and audit it. So it's not one sample, it's two samples at the end of the day that we will normally draw, if they have corrected it. We take the results of that specific sample, then we project it against the total population. Let's argue, I've tested the 100 rand, out of the 100 rand, 10 rand was wrong, and the total population is 1,000. Then I project, it's 100 rand and 1,000 rand wrong. So it's a projection. It's a scientific method that the auditor is using, not doing everything but the sample within the department. The question with regard to assets, the UN deployment, if I could just answer the sampling question also there. What we get from the department, I get a list of all the assets, that's the asset register. And I again, in terms of the classes of transactions, where military asset, if you look at the note, is a specific class of transaction. I stratify, making sure for all assets, I sample one or at least 50 of the items. And don't test it. So we try to, as far as possible, relate our sample to the population. Let's take, for instance, the assets on deployment. It's part of military assets. But I'll discuss the concerns on the AU and UN deployment later. Because it's not only sampling. You must first have a system to control it. And I'm saying on a high level, your system is not working. But I'll discuss it in more detail. That's on sampling every year, and every year it's a new sample on the population. So it's not the same thing that I follow up. There's a tendency in the department, if I see a fence and sample something at Waterkloof Air Force Base, they think I'll follow that up next year again. It's not going to happen. It's a total different song. To get an opinion of what's going on in financial statements. With regard to the assets, we are currently busy with our strategic planning for this year. There is a bit of a concern with regard, and that's why we have raised it there as a root cause for us, that oversight is needed from the accounting officer. We are lucky in this department. We have a new accounting officer, a new CFO, that could go with an open mind into the specific direction and action plans. They must review it to making sure that all the compliance is done in terms of the prescripts of National Treasury. Now, as reported in the accounting officer's report, you would have read that C1C completed certain asset counts. Now, it links back to what the minister requires. If the minister requires that this qualification must be done away in 1 year, the action plans must talk to it. So if they present the action plans and the decision is made, it must be clear in 1 year. The action plan must indicate all of these items will be addressed in 1 year. If not, surely you will not get the unqualified opinion. And I think that's on a very high level with regard to the asset action plan. It's not an easy plan, the asset plans. And you must take note about the words that they use in Defence Force, that they're NATO compliant. There's a certain type of ICN number that they have, that they work on. Now National Treasury is requiring of them to have a different type of ICN number. So they must now combine this ICN number with the new type of disclosure requirements. And that must be done for all ICN numbers. And they must ensure that all the assets are properly reflected on the system. So it's not an easy, straightforward, just go and count the assets and move out and it will be correct. Training must be done. If I count the assets now at the unit, in 2 years' time when everything is sorted out, was the staff properly educated to make sure that after we have spent this money in checking, say, for instance, the Air Force depots, making sure the assets reconcile in the system, will it be maintained, the key controls? So it must be an overwhelming, all-confirming plan that will address all the items in asset management. And it must be linked to what the minister requires. I think that's critical for this committee. Irregular expenditure, I could make available that information, as well as for fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And that will not be a concern. We'll make it available through the chair and send it through. Performance management system. The performance management system starts with the budgeting process. If you define the predetermined objectives wrongly, it will go through. So it's very important for this committee that's looking at the budgeting process that predetermined objectives are properly defined and measurable. But we must also realize we're talking on an environment that's very specialized. What is combat readiness? I think there's only one department in South Africa that will define combat readiness. The chiefs have specific plans set out. They have criteria against what we evaluated. I know it's not disclosed here, but in the audit evidence I could prove to you I get a certificate from the Chief of the Army, Chief Joint Ops, certifying that the 100% is correct. But these cases that we listed in that specific report is a 26% programs out of my sample that I couldn't get supporting evidence. So I can't comment on that specific item. So there is a possibility that it's not properly defined, because I couldn't see how they evaluated. So it could be a concern. Performance management in total, I think the purpose of us auditing it now is to prepare the departments for future, when we have to express an opinion. And by doing this sort of compliance procedures, it will assist them because we show the weaknesses in the system. So we have weaknesses in the system. I must report that if you read the prior year audit report, you will identify that we have reported not, there's not a system in place. They have now a broad system, but it's to pull it down to the lowest levels and fine-tuning the operating procedure to the guy at the ground. That's now the issue. And that's linked to proper record keeping and revealing. So that's our concerns on that item. Page 7. Was on this page. There is improvement. It's not the improvement in audit qualification. I must be straightforward with that one. If you go and read the audit report of the general audit report of the Auditor General that will be tabled shortly, they're discussing the outcomes already with SCOPA and with Cabinet, it was discussed. You will see that the department is classified as unchanged. But in the footnotes, it indicates that from a qualification of 6 to prior or 5 to prior, it's only one qualification. So the department moved forward in cleaning the quantity of qualifications, but it's still a qualification in terms of the audit outcomes. And I think the best would be to get unqualified. That would be the best ultimate for the department. But they have really put a lot of effort into operational clean audit. You will read in the accounting officer's report. She will also comment on the previous qualifications, what they did, and that they are unqualified in those items. So there is improvement.
The question I was going like saying that what does that imply in terms of the cabinet?
So it implies improvement on that aspect. So if they keep it up, I will not qualify again on accruals. That's my concern. Then it links back to what's on page 14.
Yes.
There the accruals is mentioned again. Remember, accruals are, as I've indicated to you, accruals and leases are on the manual system. So if you move staff around, if they are rotated, staff that is skilled doing that work, or they are promoted, there's a new person. If there's not proper succession planning, training, the possibility exists that that person performing that duty don't know what he's doing, and it could revert back to a qualification. That's just one type of example that I could use. So they must manage this manual processes in detail. Otherwise, it could come back to the qualification. Employee benefits, leave. Leave are managed throughout the department. It is decentralized. They must ensure that leave are, or the management of leave are proper, because it is reflected in their leave entitlement. That's also disclosed in the financial statement. So it's also a high-risk area that could go wrong. Reserve force, we have identified that there's a massive increase in the budget for reserve force. So the activities of the reserve force is increasing. And remember, we're working now with people that is not permanently employed by the department. So they must also understand the policies and procedures. It is a type of a risk for them also. That's on the reserve force. UN AU missions, deployments. As part of that note, if I could refer you to the financial statements, page 241. You will see there's various subdivisions of the note. 53.2 is disposals. Let's say, for instance, that we have a lot of deployment in Burundi, and it's not cost effective for us to bring back the assets, or the agreement is that we will sell it to the UN. That must be reflected in the specific note. Note 33.2, and now it's empty because the department is not in a position to supply me the information. I've also listed all these deficiencies in the total system. So you must first have your system in place to make sure that you could properly record and keep record of that specific items. So the system is critically, the control is critically for them to answer that specific item on the UN, the deployment. I did some follow-up. Some of the assets are actually donated. So there's different rules that's applying to that also, subsequent to Barry Wheeler's discussion with me. So it all links to this specific note that we say. If I say I qualify assets, I qualify the total of assets.
Others are donated.
No, it could be denied. It depends on the agreement with the UN, the Africa Union. Sometimes it costs you more to bring the assets back, so they must make that type of decisions also.
The any member looks a little bit stunned. Babum Patela. Any other member got questions? Mama Berger. Any other member? So that if you don't have questions, I must release the AG. And it will bring us to the closure of the meeting. Babum Patel.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks for this concerning what is concerning, because all along I thought that only political parties and politicians in care qualified people were living for just you. Now my question is on this document, Department of Defense, page 13, bullet point 3, the head of internal audit was not appointed. I want to know who should appoint him or her, and why he's not appointed. And do you, Honorable Chair, what is it that this committee can do to ensure that the head of internal audit is appointed? My second question, I think it's page 14. Bullet point 2. Contract with consortium expires on 31st, 12th, 2010. What do you mean by consortium in this sense, in this audit report? Because I think it refers for the second time, I think it's somewhere on the operation being audited. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. To me, it's a comment that the Auditor General commented on page 14, make indication on skill levels of staff. To me, this is a good sign from the Auditor General to comment on the comment that the department must take care of the skills levels of staff. Not only when they audit the books, they only check and seeking for irregularities. That's my comment. Because of this lack of skills level, I also have this in mind that because this asset management, it's a new system, I'm not sure whether when it was implemented or it was introduced to the department, was the training enough to comply or to so that the departments can implement it. Because now when we look at this, we are talking about the previous financial year and the new one. So that's what I want to check with. Is this asset management or for the implication of it, is it for the 2008 or 2009 or the 2009 and 10 period. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to pose a question to the Auditor General, and I wanted to make a point, but it's not related to the AG's report. The question is, in the previous financial year, the AG did a performance audit, and if I recall correctly, the performance audit concerned the air combat capability in the South African Air Force. Why did the Auditor General not do a performance audit this year? Is this what triggers a performance audit, and why was a performance audit not done in this financial year? I presume it would have been possibly done on a different system, but I'd like that. Chair, do you want to close the meeting and then allow me to make my point, or shall I just make it? It's not related to the AG's report. It's just simply follow-ups, Chair. In respect of the meeting with the Deputy Minister on Military Veterans, you'll recall that he promised us a copy of the Ministerial Task Team on Military Veterans report. I've not received that report. In respect of our hearing with Arms Corps, the chairperson promised that we would get a detailed breakdown of the final determination numbers in relation to Tsipo-Tomo, and that we would get the costs of the sonar system, the missile system, and the NBC system. Again, I haven't received that information. If we could follow that up, please. Thank you.
My office and myself will have to sort out. Yes, Mazia, you don't have any issue?
No.
Okay, so before the AG takes the last round, okay, let me give him the requirement after you finish.
Thank you, sir. With regard to the head of internal audit, it's the accounting officer, Secretary of Defense, responsibility of appointing a specific person. That's the accounting officer, and that person reports directly to the accounting officer. It could be delegated to the chief HR or whoever in the department, but it stays the responsibility of the accounting officer, because that person must primarily assist the accounting officer also. It's very important. With regard to the reasons why, I'm just looking for it, but there is a paragraph within the report where they indicated that they went out and tender, but they were not successfully, or the total process was not fully followed by HR. But I think the department could comment on that specific reason. I don't have that information available either. So there is a reason that they've also given through to me in the management report on that specific item. Operation Clean Audit, as I've indicated previously, that KPMG and SABNT audit firms that assist the Chief Financial Officer as well as the Accounting Officer ensuring that they comply with all the requirements of National Treasury and adjusting their systems to make sure that they cater for the correct disclosure requirements. Skills, levels, asset management system. The department didn't receive a new asset management system. You must remember the department have, if I recall correctly, they have four electronical systems and they have manual systems from the past that they're still operating with. They're not like the other departments that are updated centrally by National Treasury and CETA. They have their own systems, and that's creating one of the problems. Because National Treasury, when they implement this disclosure requirements, centrally they update the other systems, but our department systems are not updated because they're entity specific. So that support is not there. Okay. And the other departments now comply or can comply as far as possible, but our department is in a weaker position there. So you must also take that into account if you look at the asset side of it. Then the period of reporting, I reported in this report for the period in 31st of March, so that's the year 2019. The performance audit, as part of our process, we normally report and say this is an audit, and that specific audit was halted. And the main reason I think we reported last year was all the policies and procedures and controls were not in place. So it would not be cost effective to do that specific audit. We have just tasked our performance section last month to do a review to see if it's possible to continue with the audit. Normally, if we identify then it must be audited, it goes to the committee within the Auditor General that decides if the audit must go forward. But the prerequisite of that specific audit is the systems must be in place. Otherwise, we're just going to report and say the systems is not in place. But we didn't forget about that specific item.
Thank you. No, I just wanted to thank the auditor general for being quite frank and being helpful to us as a committee. So, members, this was really to keep you informed and for you to be able to read the report. But I take the good point you have finally made today, then, David, that there is good progress in the department, and we need to be able to live up to that now. We are really looking forward to get the accounting officer here, but the system you wanted to introduce, it will have to be brought back to the committee and be debated, and we see if we can process it and how we handle the report itself. The meeting, it clearly shows after we have received the letter from the minister that we are not meeting tomorrow, we are not meeting on Thursday. So you can disperse yourself and go to different committees. If there's an agreement, we'll hear definitely about the 26th and 27th from what mainly and Master Asomo would have been able to sort out. Of now, thank you very much, members, for coming, and thank you very much for everybody for attending. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Thank you.